The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Higher, baby. Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. Happy Monday, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia and as well on KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. How are you doing today, Ronaldo?
I'm doing well. I got out this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I did a lot of, I got, when you say you got out, what does that mean?
I didn't go where people were. I went to Waco to see my mom and my stepdad. They just moved to Texas.
How
so
nice.
So they moved down to Waco, yes.
Just getting away like that kind of normalizes things, you know, makes things, you need to do that. Everybody needs to do that. I didn't go far this weekend. I just, you know, did a little bit of grocery shopping, stayed home, but got a lot of homework done, you know, stuff around my house that I wanted to get done and prepare everything for spring. And it's kind of like a time to cleanse, regardless of what's going on in the world, right? And stay connected.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, exactly. But, you know, a lot of people are in a fearful state. They really are. Because there's so much going on and a lot of, like, I'm not a scientist, so I don't understand all the stuff that they're talking about. And so it can induce a lot of fear in people. And so I've asked Robin Perry Braun, who is wonderful and a regular on the show, to step on the air with us, to jump on the air with us this morning to talk about pivoting from fear. So how are you doing, Robin? Are you on the line?
I am on the line for sure.
All right. Well, good to talk to you again. We talked over the weekend as well, which is why I thought, you know what, let's talk about this when we open the show on Monday and open it, you know, on a high note. So for those of you that maybe have never talked to Robin before or listened to Robin, she holds a master's in psychology and is a holistic energy practitioner who has also worked with sexual addictions for over 18 years. She is an emotion code and integrated life process practitioner, ordained minister, author, and speaker, and she has created her own certified energy modality and holds trainings live and both online. She uses a holistic approach to address mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical issues. You can find her at her website, integratedlifestrategies.com. That's integratedlifestrategies.com. Or you can email her at integratedlifestrategies@gmail.com. So pivoting from fear. So how do people deal with the mixed reports about the virus that they're seeing all over social media, on television? What should we believe, Robin?
Well, I think part of the issue is that there is a lot of contradictory information. And so, you know, the average person has basically learned to trust what comes out of the news or what comes out of doctors. And I think in an unprecedented way, what we've seen is that you know, it's kind of opened people's eyes to just think there's not an absolute, somebody who absolutely knows everything in this, Or there's conflicting knowledge that, you know, the CDC just reduced the death rate from 60,000 down to 37 in the U.S. So the average person is starting to lose maybe an unfounded, but nonetheless, a confidence in, you know, the absolute knowledge of, quote, the experts. And really, while that's scary, it's actually not a bad thing because it really is a false security. You know, in a system that's not perfect. And so I think it's opening people's eyes, and that's a good thing. But paradigm shifts are always terrifying because they upset the boat. They upset the apple cart. All of a sudden there's confusion and a little chaos, and we don't know what to think, who to listen to, who to trust, even if our previous trust wasn't necessarily founded correctly.
Well, and all relationships are founded on trust, certainly with your doctor. Relationship, but especially something like that where it's medical and your health depends on it. And it's funny you brought up apple cart because one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, fear though truly does have a physiological impact on your immune system. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. And so this is actually from Dr. Bruce Lipton. He does such a great explanation of it. He talks about energy practitioners. So he talks about energy and how different energetic things actually affect the biology. So he does both. He translates energy into biology, which is beautiful. And the way he explains this, so what I would say to my clients is we can only deal with what you have enough available energy to deal with right now. So if you're in a highly traumatic situation, we're not going to get as much progress in your healing as if life is easier and peaceful and good because you only have so much energy left over. Mm-hmm. So he takes that concept and he uses the example of, let's say I have a bacterial infection. And what happens most of the time when we're sick? We lose our appetite and we want to sleep. Because our body wants to take all the energy it would have spent digesting and doing life and put it all towards the immune system to fight this invader. So intuitively, we don't want to eat. We want to sleep. We want to rest. And our body needs that so that all the available energy is spent to healing. Well, let's say I'm sick and a tiger comes in the room. So I'm going to immediately kick into fight or flight and probably maybe freeze. But unless I'm so sick, I can't get off the bed. I'm probably going to run, right? I'm going to somehow. Right. So my fight or flight, my fear mechanism is going to override all that energy being sent to my immune system. And now it's going to be sent to my adrenal glands, my cortisol, my, you know, epinephrine being released to fight with an immediate threat. So if we take that concept with anything, but especially, you know, with this, you know, unknown, confusing viral situation, and we listen to or we focus on fear, it's creating that cortisol, that adrenaline, and that is taking energy away from our immune system and our overall health, and it actually makes us more vulnerable to catch something or to, you know, to not be able to fight off something our immune system should, a healthy immune system should normally be able to deal with.
Absolutely, and that is why it's so important to really be aware of what you subject your mind to, not just your body, but your mind as well. It's all connected. We've got about 2 minutes, Robin. How do we move out of fear to joy? What are your top tips for that?
I really encourage people during this time to let the fear be a motivation to have a paradigm shift towards health. We've lived in a country that has basically said, do anything you want. If you get sick, the doctors will fix you. And this whole situation has caused us to lose trust in that idea and that system because it's an unprecedented concept. This could happen again, this type of thing, and I won't go into anything behind it, but it could happen again. So I think we need to come up with a new paradigm that is a little less insecure and dependent on other people, which is, you know, our body's original design, which is if I give my body and my immune system what it needs and I build it, then my body has what it needs to fight, you know, those other viruses or bacteria, whatever it is. And so I stopped listening to everybody talking about the Spanish flu. I could go into a whole story about some of the other factors behind the Spanish flu.
Let's do, you know what? I want to
using that.
Yeah, we need to talk about that next week for sure. I love talking about the history of all this too. And you know, sure. I remember saying this to you yesterday, and I'll leave this with our listeners. There are more viruses on our Earth than there are stars in the whole universe.
Right.
And we cannot vaccinate them all away. So there's other methods to survival here. We'll leave you with that. Always a pleasure, Robin.
Three.
Thanks so much. Huh?
Can I say one last thing real quick?
Sure, of course.
The law of expansion says what I focus on, I give energy to, and it gets bigger. So when I'm in fear, I pivot to think on something good, something positive, something solution-based, something that brings joy, and I pivot and I give energy to that rather than energy to the negative bad news, and that will help you pivot away.
I love it. I love it. So move out of fear to joy, and thanks for jumping on the air with us this morning. Robin Perry Braun, you can find her at her website, integratedlifestrategies.com. We've got a fantastic show coming up. Mo Brossette is going to be talking about breath and mobility, and we've got Mary Holland back. We're going to be talking about status update of COVID-19 testing. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Seasons don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, baby, don't feel the reaper. Baby, take my hand. Don't feel the reaper. We'll be able to fly. Don't feel the reaper. Baby, I'm your man. La, 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 la.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we have one of our regulars on the line, Mo Brossette. He has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years, and he is currently the director of mindset and nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation, which is a Dallas-based nonprofit helping disabled military veterans and civilians through a 9-week mental and physical training program called Redefine. And through Mo's unique program, he helps these adaptive athletes overcome physical, emotional, and mental pain, fear, and self-doubt. He is also the founder and CEO of Link Endurance. His website is brossetteperformance.com, and on Instagram, you can find him at brossette_performance_coaching. How are you doing today, Mo?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm full of energy. How are you? Are you full of energy?
No, I'm not. I'm not full of energy today, actually. I spent the weekend down near Austin, and we were rock climbing outside all weekend, and I expended a ton of energy. So today I kind of feel like I got hit by a bus, which is awesome. I love it.
That's okay. Yeah. No, I love that feeling. Yeah. I had a productive weekend. I wish I would have gone rock climbing, but I didn't. In fact, I really want to get back into that. I used to do it years ago, and my body was never stronger. And, of course, I love being out in nature because it's just an amazing place to talk about what we're actually talking about today, which is breath and mobility. So, you know, you've posted mm-hmm. several breath and MOGA, M-O-G-A, mobility sessions online recently. So what does MOGA stand for?
So MOGA is it's my version of a combination of breath work, some yoga movements, some mobility movements, and some animal flow movements, all designed to open up your body and open up the front side of your body, your hips, your abdominal wall, the front of your shoulders, while engaging and making stronger the backside of your body, your glutes, your back, the back of your shoulders, to open up the posture in the spine.
It's so important, too. And so, you know, a lot of people go, oh, why is it so important? You know, so tell us, why is it so important?
Yeah, well, I mean, just the health of your spine, you know, number one, as you know, I started this, I've created this for not just for athletes, but for everyday people, because we sit so much. And the more you sit, the more your spine flexes. And we know from Jordan Peterson's writings and books, from that of lobsters, and it's the same with humans. The more our spine is in its neutral, erect position, the stronger we are. Anatomically, you know, that in lobsters, when they're rounded forward in that flexed position, it's a reduction in serotonin. It's a reduction in the feel-good hormone, the hormones that stimulate strength and confidence. So with us as well, when we sit and we're constantly in that forward flexed position and the head and chin is jutted forward, you know, think about like a 12-year-old teenager. They have the worst posture ever. That is what look like when we sit, right? When we sit at a computer, when we sit at a desk. That's the posture that we assume, regardless of how much we try to not do that, we all end up in that same position. So, in a good test that I used to do with people when I was personal training full-time, and you can do this, listeners, do this with someone at home. Have them stand up and stand up with feet shoulder-width apart and hold one hand out in front, just straight in front at shoulder's height. And then I want then have the person round their shoulders forward and make that jut their chin forward and just have poor posture. And then have somebody try to push your hand down and see if you can hold your hand up. And I'll tell you right now, you're not going to be able to.
And you need to do a video of it.
Stand up. Stand up straight. Pull your shoulders back, chin up, like a strong, confident posture. Squeeze your glutes. Hold your hand out again, and that person will not be able to move your arm. And here's why. When your spine is in its neutral, erect position, it's where it should be for maximum force production and for being ready to handle load. Whereas when my spine is rounded and flexed forward, I'm at a greater risk for danger and damaging my spine. So therefore, everything outside of that gets weaker. And it does that as a protective mechanism. So I can't lift as heavy of loads. I can't do things as strongly as I can when my body is up and erect.
Well, yeah, and when your body's strong, and we've talked about glutes millions of times on the air about the importance of how to keep your glutes strong, so that it gives you the support that your body needs, especially your spine. A lot of times people that have back problems actually have weak glutes. That's at the very root of it. You know that. I know that. But let me ask you this. How do breath and mobility work together?
Yeah, so oftentimes when we think about mobility, we think about, I'm doing air quotes right now, stretching. And it's something that nobody likes to do. Like, I'm working with a group of elite level youth hockey goalies. And as a goalie, they have to be able to be really flexible. Anyway, they hate stretching too. So they hate doing mobility. And when we do that, we just kind of go through the motions and we tense up. So if I go and think about it, like if you stretch some area where you're tight, you usually go, and you hold your breath and then you hold that. Well, when I'm holding my breath, attempting to go through a range of motion, especially where I'm tight, I'm really exacerbating that tightness. If you can go into that place of tightness and bring attention to it and awareness and literally breathe into that space and allow it to relax through and with the breath, then the muscle will release and it will relax and you will increase your range of motion. And done over time with breath, not only are you increasing the flexibility, you're increasing your mobility, which is your ability to go through an active range of motion.
Let me ask you this, because you're getting ready. For the interruption. There's a little bit of a sound delay because I'm working from home. I'm doing the show from my home. It's kind of weird. During the break, I actually had the guts to go downstairs and get some more water for my tea. I came back up and the phone was silent. And I was like, oh my gosh, I instantly panicked like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But it's just kind of fun. All these crazy things that happen when you're trying to do it at home. But, these sessions really are important for your overall health. Can you tell our listeners why?
Yeah, it's great for stress reduction. It's great just to move and get blood flow and get nutrients to the body. If you want to improve immune function, if you want to improve your recovery, because when we physically feel good, we mentally feel good as well. So, a lot of people don't know what to do, or we're doing a whole bunch of body weight things. We're doing all these in-home workouts, plus we're sitting at home. So we have to incorporate movement into cellular regeneration. We have to incorporate movement into blood flow and, again, nutrient delivery throughout the body. So when you incorporate mobility, an easy, gentle flow of movements, along with a relaxed diaphragmatic breath, you're increasing what's known as vagal tone. So you're increasing your body's, your immune system. You're also suppressing an inflammatory response. So breath work along with movement can help that immensely.
Well, are sessions most beneficial before or after a workout? I'm going to guess before. But I could be wrong.
Well, either. So like all
either,
my endurance
or both,
clients,
maybe.
Yeah. So for example, my endurance athletes that I work with, the obstacle course racers, the triathletes, and the runners, I have them do specific MOGA movements with breath to open up the body with specific breathing and also get your glutes engaged, get your body prepared for what you're going to do. Because if you're going to go, you know, run 10 miles, you need to make sure your glutes are turned on. So then, like you said earlier, Bernadette, you don't start borrowing from your low back and your hamstrings.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to, and it's a great warm up. And also it's a great cool down, because once you've done any sort of intense activity, whether it's running, if it's lifting weights, if it's whatever, a big part of what we miss is the start of the recovery process, which is mobility and breath work. So if you just do a hard high intensity interval session and then you go sit on the couch or you sit back at your desk, you're missing a piece of the puzzle for recovery, which is the cool down. So after you finish that is important as well. And it doesn't take a long time.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Sorry. You said runners. Okay. So, and that's where I was going next with this. We only have about 2 minutes, so I want to get through the rest of these questions. So how is this practice helpful for runners especially?
Oh, it's incredible for runners, again, because when you run, you're really not, unless you're sprinting or running uphill a lot, you're not engaging your glutes really. It's a lot of hip flexion, right? So
yeah.
When you do mobility, when you do breath work and mobility, number one, it opens up the hips, so it can prevent a lot of the low back pain. It can prevent a lot of knee pain as well. You know, me as an endurance athlete, as an ultra runner, I know firsthand the importance of this, because again, when you can open up the front of the hips, lengthen those muscles and strengthen the ones on the back
mm-hmm.
side of you,
mm-hmm.
specifically your glutes and your back, that keeps the chest up, that keeps the spine in its neutral erect position, and
yep.
your core is stronger, so then you can run more efficiently, which is less taxing and wearing on the knees and joints overall.
Well, yeah, and I have to say there was an incident back about a week ago. I was driving and I actually, you know, well, I got emotional and kind of cried when my daughter was like, "Are you crying, Mom?" It's like, shut up and leave me alone, you know. But I got real emotional because I saw so many families and people out exercising, and I just know how good it is for them. And so there are a lot of blessings through this whole COVID-19 thing, and people exercising more is one of them. So, you know, we've got to go in just a minute. But your hashtag is "This is not yoga." Will you explain what you mean by that quickly?
Well, yeah, because I've taken a lot of yoga classes, and it's a lot of yoga, and it's great for you. But I've found that it's a lot of flexion forward. And when I've done it, when I used to do it, I felt almost tighter in my hips after coming out of it. So this is not just yoga. This is mobility to open up the body with intentional engaging or firing of muscles in the backside of you, incorporating
mm-hmm.
with other movements like animal flow and other mobility type movements. So it is not a traditional yoga class.
Okay. And so how can people find, how can they find these breath mobilities or these MOGA, MOGA
yeah,
videos?
Yeah, yeah,
where can
yeah,
we
so
find them?
I've got, so you go to my YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search Morris Brossette, and it's under Link Endurance, and that's where you'll find them. And I'm also coming out with a program, a breath and body, breath and mobility 8-week course that'll be available shortly.
Wow. You're a busy beaver.
Yep.
Did you see any beavers while you were up there climbing and over the weekend?
I did not see any beavers.
Out in nature?
No.
All right. All right. Always great. Well, you know, I have to inject some humor always.
Of course.
So it's great to be on the air with you. You take care. Hope to see you soon in studio. One of
All
these
right.
good whole days. Take care, everyone.
Absolutely.
Out there listening to. Stay tuned, though, because we've got Mary Holland coming up. She serves as general counsel and vice chair of the board at the Children's Health Defense. We're going to give a status update of COVID-19 testing. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and I have a very special guest on the line, Mary Holland. She serves as general counsel and vice chair of the board at Children's Health Defense. She recently left the faculty of the New York University, that's NYU School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master's of Arts and Juris Doctor degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. She has worked in international public and private law. She is the co-author of Vaccine Epidemic and the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. Her website, or their website, is childrenshealthdefense.org. That's childrenshealthdefense.org. How are you doing today, Mary?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Bernadette.
Oh, well, you know, I always get excited when I know you're coming on the air. I really do. There's so much that we could talk about. In particular today, though, we're focusing our topic on status update of COVID-19 testing. So, you know, last Friday, Texas began slowly opening up businesses, including restaurants and retail, at 25% capacity, which has been very problematic for a lot of businesses. But from what you know about the state of testing, is this a safe way to reopen the economy, in your opinion?
Well, Children's Health Defense, where I work, doesn't take a position on the shutdowns or on reopening per se, Bernadette. But my personal perspective is we cannot stay huddled in our apartments and homes forever. We're going to have to, if we're going to continue to live and exist as a civilization, we have to come out. And of course, we all want to do that in the safest way possible. And so the measures that people have been practicing and have been, you know, federally recommended guidelines of social distancing, 6 feet between people, and wearing masks, those are guidelines that really do prevent respiratory spread between people. And, you know, certain people are at higher risk than others. We know that children are at virtually no risk and healthy adults are at very low risk. But we know that people with comorbid conditions and people who are elderly and frail, we know they're at high risk. And so I definitely think that reopening in a sensible manner and providing some kind of support and testing for those who are vulnerable does make a lot of sense. We cannot continue this indefinitely. It's simply not sustainable.
Yeah, no, and I have to tell you, I went to a restaurant in Dallas over the weekend. That was like the only thing I did other than go to the grocery store. And I almost did it as like from a journalist perspective, is to, you know, report on what I saw and how people were reacting. And it was very interesting. It was very, very interesting. And there was more people than I expected, really, but not too much. It was like this, I don't know, like a very good balance of respect for the virus and respect for one another. And I like what I saw. And so, you know, let me ask you this. Can you tell us where the U.S. is in regard to testing for COVID-19?
You know, from the beginning of this, Bernadette, people have pointed out that the U.S. has been behind on testing. So initially, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention wanted to come out with their own test, and that was not an accurate test. And so we have been way behind the curve of other countries in doing testing on this infectious disease. And that definitely has hampered our ability to stay open. Now there certainly is an effort to ramp up the tests, but a lot of that's been done at the state level rather than at the federal level. And I think the goal is to have 2 million tests be available every week. And I don't think that that goal has yet been met. And there have been significant problems with all of the kinds of tests that are being used in the United States right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a lot of controversy surrounding that as well. So, you know, the latest newsletter from Children's Health Defense talks about an effective two-phase test recommendation by Dr. Sing Hong Lee, who's known mostly for his work surrounding the HPV vaccine. So how is Dr. Lee involved in COVID-19 testing, and how is this test more effective than the one that's being used currently?
So I've known Dr. Lee for many years. He's a really remarkable scientist physician who was on the faculty at Cornell Medical School and on the faculty at Yale Medical School. And he now runs his own diagnostic test company based in Connecticut. And I got to know him through my work on the human papillomavirus vaccine because it was Dr. Lee who did an analysis of the vaccines. And he proved to the Food and Drug Administration that had been denying that there was any viral DNA in the vaccines. He proved to them by sequencing the genes, the DNA in the vaccine, he proved to them that there were DNA fragments in the vaccine. And nobody has ever said that that was safe. And so he forced the FDA to come clean and say, well, yes, we know that there are fragments in the vial of the vaccines, but they are not harmful. And really, they don't have any basis to say that they're not harmful. But so I've known Dr. Lee for some time, and I learned recently that just as he did with human papillomavirus testing, he had reached out to the World Health Organization and to the FDA to say, I have a better test. We all care about the accuracy of the testing for this disease. We are all being affected by this disease. Look at my test. And I personally, given his accuracy, given his credentials, I have been shocked to learn that he's received no response from the FDA, from the World Health Organization, and from the Connecticut Department of Public Health. So just me, Bernadette, is shocking, right? This is a credentialed scientist physician who has a track record of coming up with excellent genetic tests, diagnostic tests. And he's just being, frozen out. And so to me, that does raise the question that I raised in the editorial to that, to his letter to the WHO and the FDA is, why is this? Could it be that there are competing interests or corrupt interests in these organizations? And sadly, Bernadette,
well, that has
because the FDA does sort of pick its favorites, and the World Health Organization in Connecticut, if he's not the favorite, then they may just ignore him.
Well, and it feels to me like that's some sort of, that's a kind of an abstract way of almost censoring, you know, what,
information
we receive and what we don't based on a scientific level. Right.
Well, there's a lot of scientific censorship, Bernadette. I mean, that's a whole separate discussion that I would be delighted to have with you. But it's really important for people to know that an awful lot of information in medical and scientific journals is censored. And in fact, when important new advances that might go against the interests of the pharmaceutical establishment or of the health regulatory agencies gets published, often there is a concerted effort to get that article withdrawn or retracted in a very short amount of time in order to essentially blackball that article.
Well, I mean, the HPV vaccine on trial, the book that you wrote, I mean, there's some of that in your book as well, a wealth
absolutely
of information, well-documented, well-researched.
Yes, but that's happening here too, unfortunately, Bernadette. We are seeing articles that are putting forward provocative scientific theories with some evidence behind them. Sadly, we are seeing them be withdrawn under pressure. And we know that that's an established pattern. If you are going up against a scientific establishment that is very closely linked with the pharmaceutical industry and with government regulatory agencies, there is enormous pressure on people's jobs and on funding, on research funding, not to rock the boat. And so we're already seeing that in the COVID-19 area.
Well, that should scare a lot of people. I know it makes me really nervous when I think because, you know, that kind of power, any kind of power, if it gets too big, it can destroy and do just do a lot of damage to a lot of people. And so this is something that we really do need to keep an eye on. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this with Mary Holland. So stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
I'll send an SOS.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis. And our special guest today, Mary Holland, is continuing on. We're talking about a status update of COVID-19 testing. Mary Holland serves as a general counsel and vice chair of the board at Children's Health Defense. She recently left the faculty of the New York University School of Law, where she served for 17 years, most recently directing its graduate lawyering program. Mary received her Master's of Arts and Juris Doctorate degrees from Columbia University and her undergraduate degree from Harvard. She has worked in international public and private law. She is the co-author of Vaccine Epidemic and the HPV Vaccine on Trial, Seeking Justice for a Generation Betrayed. Okay, gosh, you know, right before we went to break, Mary, we were talking about what I was trying to get out is my thought was this misuse of power. I feel like there's a misuse of power that's happening in our country. And we all know that censorship is about power. And so, you know, I was exposed. Someone sent me a YouTube video of two doctors. I don't know if you know about it. In California.
I do.
Two medical doctors. Yeah, Dr. Martin Masihi, yeah. I think, or Masili, and Dr. Dan Erickson, who stated in the video that they were being told to classify illnesses and deaths as related to COVID-19, whether they believe that to be true or not. And Dr. Erickson even went on to say that that he was being pressured to add COVID-19 to maybe increase, and these were his thoughts, to increase the numbers and making it look a little bit worse than it really is. I don't even know what to think about that.
Yeah. I want to just remind you of the saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. I mean, it's an old saying in this
country. Oh, yeah.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when you have this kind of directorate, you know, direction from a governor that says, you know, we're in a COVID pandemic. And there have been literal instructions, Bernadette, that say, you know, if you don't know the cause of death, assume it's a COVID death. And that does go towards more federal funding at the state level. And there are certain financial incentives there. And there's also just these poor people in the hospitals are absolutely overwhelmed. So they're not going to take the time to do additional testing to find out if it was heart failure or renal failure. They're just going to do the easy thing and check the box and take it off their list. But, you know, what's happening in the hospitals, especially in New York, where I'm based, is very, very troubling, Bernadette. There are real reports that seem credible. That it's really bad that, you know, most people who come into the hospital die, and that there's a level of sort of incompetence that's being practiced in these hospitals right now because they just weren't ready for this kind of situation, despite billions of dollars being spent on pandemic readiness. That it's deeply troubling. It's deeply troubling. And, you know, what you're describing is a kind of censorship of doctors and nurses who are saying to their superiors, we need to do something different. You know, these people are dying and they probably don't have to die. Some of them are going to die. I mean, this is a bad transmissible type of respiratory infection. Right. It is analogous, according to Dr. Fauci and Dr. Redfield at the CDC and the National Institutes of Health. Back in February, they published an article in the New England Journal of Medicine that I think is really important. They said, you know, this does not look like a super, super deadly infectious disease. In fact, they said the case fatality rate may be less than 1%, and it's analogous to a severe seasonal flu. And right now, the fatality rate looks like it's 0.1%. And so one of my questions is, why is the media blowing this up? Why is every story in the newspaper and on television, and why is everything about death from this disease? Why is there this kind of attention, this tunnel vision to doing this? And I think that's a reasonable question. Why is there so much panic mongering around this? It's bad, and people who are at risk need to take extra precautions. But does it justify closing down the world? And it's interesting, I was on a phone call earlier today with someone who has a lot of ties to Africa. And you have to, one of the things that I didn't think about a lot, but I think is important for us to recognize, is when we in the United States, in a developed country, call for draconian
quarantine measures, self-quarantine measures, the way that translates to developing countries is very, very harsh. And so what here is a terrible inconvenience and people lining up for food distributions in the developing world may be starvation, Bernadette.
Right. Wow. Well, I mean, this has had just such a tremendous effect on, oh my gosh, small business, capitalism, the American dream. I mean, I feel like our rights are being stripped away right before our very eyes.
Well, I think people are going to start tolerating this less and less. And I'm happy to see that some states never close. Some states are opening up. They're trying to do it in an appropriate way. And they're trying to balance the risks. And coming back to our theme of testing, so Dr. Lee was focused on the infection test. Does somebody have the illness today? And they focused on a PCR test. But he said, you know, we can make those really accurate if we sort of do a second round of testing. And it's especially important for people who are really at risk, like people in nursing homes. Mm-hmm. But the next level of testing that's now being discussed is antibody testing. So that shows that somebody's recovered from COVID-19 and they have antibodies. And that's what the vaccine, if it ever emerges, that's what the vaccine is intended to do, is to give you mm-hmm. sort of a mild version and to induce antibodies. But one of the questions, first of all, there is no accurate antibody test that we know of, and it's not really available in the United States. But secondly, there's a big question, Bernadette, about whether these antibody tests will mean much, because we don't know a lot about this particular coronavirus, and we don't know right. for sure whether if somebody has antibodies, they're going to be immune for a long time or not. We just don't really mm-hmm. know. And so there's so many unknowns in this situation. It's troubling when you see this tremendous drive towards surveillance and testing and also towards this vaccine. And as you know, there are about 100 different candidate vaccines against COVID-19 that are now being mm-hmm. worked on around the world. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to do this literally, they call it Operation Warp Speed. They're trying to develop a vaccine wow. where, you know, there have been efforts to do coronavirus vaccines for over 50 years, and it's really hard, and they have not been successful. And so now, you know, they're trying to come up with a coronavirus vaccine so that it'll be available by the end of 2020. So you mm-hmm. have to be really careful. You have to really think, wow, do I really want to be subjecting myself to a vaccine when we don't even know if this disease is just going to disappear like most do, right? They just
yeah,
don't
right.
come back year well, after year.
Or come Why back are we stronger. You know what I mean? Like come back stronger. The flu, everyone knows the flu shot is never, you know, for the virus that we're currently fighting, and it's ineffective. They know that. And you know, you can't help but think, wow, is this their new flu shot, if you will?
Well, that exactly. I think that's a great question, Bernadette, because many scientists are pointing to the fact that COVID-19 at the moment seems to mutate very quickly. It seems from the time that it broke out
right.
in Wuhan to the time that it got to Seattle, it's already mutated a lot. And so it raises all the same questions of the flu vaccine, if they're going to try to estimate which is going to be the strain that prevails, you know, a year from now. And they're often wrong, right? The flu shot is mm-hmm. often like mm-hmm. 15% effective, and yet they tell everybody, go get your flu shot. And again, you know, the CDC makes a lot of money on flu shots, and the CDC
Absolutely.
On that collaborates very closely with the pharmaceutical industry and buys the vaccines and so on.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it's
are we at the beginning of a new kind of like, you know, you have to get your annual COVID vaccine? You know, is that where we are? And this year,
right.
it's, you know, against 19, but the next year it's against 25, and it's going to be a terrible year. Is this just another way for the pharmaceutical industry and for healthcare agencies to, you know, be sort of creating these medical interventions every year and surveilling people based on them? Okay,
Absolutely.
You can't have your job if you don't get this shot. You can't have access to your workplace if you don't have this shot. And I
right.
think we as Americans who really do believe in freedom in an important way, we should be very skeptical, and we should
Absolutely.
Demand the science. And the science, frankly, is not there yet.
I know it isn't. And I can't wait to get you back on the air. I'm going to have to exit quickly because we're out of time. Everyone, thank you for listening. Mary, thank you so much for jumping on the air with us. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.